This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Getting set to talk some in-depth Nuggets information with the one and only Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, my friend, hey, I'll get right to it. Our poll question today, and again, I know Coach Malone saying don't pay attention to those external reports, but yeah, I'm getting my hopes up. It's too late, man. If Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray are back this month, does that put the Nuggets in the contender race, the title contender race?
Well, boy, it gives them a really good chance, doesn't it? I mean, there's still Phoenix out there, and though they don't have Chris Paul until the playoffs, so that's a big deal for them, obviously. And then Golden State, but yeah, I mean, you'd have to put the Nuggets right in that mix. It's funny that you asked this question because, you know, I've had kind of conversations here and there about who the Nuggets might want to face in the playoffs or who they wouldn't want to face in the playoffs. And I get it's such a wide range of what people think of the teams ahead of them, you know, whether they're legit contenders or insurmountable objects that, well, no matter what, you're not going to beat. And so I think you'd have to put them in that conversation for sure. Phoenix, for the longest time, looked like the team that is just the most dominant. And with Chris Paul back, maybe that's the case. But also, it was a Phoenix team that played a bunch of teams last season that didn't in the playoffs that were injured. And then the minute they played somebody that wasn't injured, they lost that series. And so maybe what that does mean is exactly that. And so, you know, the other variable is just how good those two players would be. How long it would take them to work back into, maybe not their peak form. I don't think that would happen this season, but certainly, form that would make the Nuggets a very tough team to defeat in the playoffs. So yeah, I would put them amongst the top three easily if they get those two guys back.
Chris, from your experience seeing players, you know, throughout the NBA have injuries such as MPJ's and Jamal Murray's, from your experience, what you've seen, how likely is it that those two guys bounce back? And I'm not saying we see bubble Jamal Murray, but how about the Jamal Murray we saw before he got hurt? And even Michael Porter Jr., maybe even before the playoffs. I think the playoffs were an interesting story for him. But what are the chances that you see at least, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, you see both of those guys around a 6, 7, 7.5?
I think it's much more likely for Michael Porter Jr. And I know there's a lot of people who have suffered back injuries, and they're probably like, yeah, right. You know, it's a back injury, so we'll just see. But just given the fact that he was already playing this season, and then B, really has been there's been a lot of signs along the way that he could and probably would come back. And, you know, from what I've been able to see in some limited times I've been in shoot-arounds and him participating in some of those, I would give him the opportunity. I would give him the opportunity to be 80% of what, you know, he was last year, just given, you know, I think his only variable is just, you know, how explosive can he get back to, will his back allow him to be? And I don't think that they would put him on the court in any scenario that is compromising him in any way. So if he's back on the court, in fact, then I would just guess that he would be the player of the two of those that could get closest to his peak level. I just wouldn't expect that Jamal Murray would get close to that this season. And, you know, which is why, you know, when we were talking about this, maybe the last time we were on, you know, which is why it would be really good for him to get some of that rust and some of that, it's mental as well as physical, get some of that out this season so that next season he can kind of hit the ground running instead of having to start that process next season, having not played a single game this season. And so we'll see about that. But if he does play, I would expect maybe 70% would be the maximum that I would think that he'd be able to get to. It's just not enough time in the season either. I mean, think about Klay Thompson. and how long ago he came back. And right now, even still, I don't think he would say that he's, you know, 80% of himself. And so if it's taken him this long, with only 21 games left with the Nuggets, and we still haven't seen Jamal, I would expect that that would be the case for him too. So, but just having him out there for maybe these moments and times where he can run two-man game, where he can hit a big shot, maybe he pops in one of those Murray flurries where it's like, you know, 8 straight points and a couple three-pointers and gets to the Nuggets momentum. I think those are all beneficial, no matter what percentage he gets himself back to this season.
We're talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, Coach Malone said, a couple nights ago, he's like, hey, don't pay attention to those reports. They're not coming from us. Now, yeah. I guess I kind of read it as well. He didn't say they were necessarily wrong. He just said, Don't pay attention to them. So what are we thinking? I mean, is it safe to assume that March is the key? I mean, that's kind of what we thought all along. We were all hoping for more, but I think realistically we all thought March. So is it safe to say within the next 30 days or so, we should see both of those guys back on the floor?
I don't know about Jamal Murray. I mean, I still think that there's a percent chance that he doesn't play at all this season. But certainly an agent's not coming. An agent's not coming out and saying that if his client is not going to play at all this season. And so I would expect that we would see Jamal. I think for the Nuggets, you know, they have taken great pains to not put a timeline on anything and to let the players work this out on their own, their rehab, how they feel, the conditioning, all that kind of stuff, without the pressure of somebody saying, okay, well, it's March 10th now. You said he would be back on the court, and now you have a separate controversy going on. And so I think, Coach Malone certainly was bristling, because of that, because it seems like now there has been a timeline assigned to him. And if for some reason Michael Porter Jr. is not able to meet that timeline, then questions will be, well, what's going on? What's wrong? Did he have a setback? And all he's going to look at the media is look at the media and say, I never said he was coming back.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of protecting the player happening from the organization, which is exactly what they should be doing. And agents are obviously in touch with doctors and the player, and I mean, they know everything that there is to know about their clients. So we'll see what happens here in the next few weeks, but I mean, certainly that's a sign that Michael Porter Jr. is closing in on a return.
And Chris, to answer this one, we heard Austin Rivers talk about this months and months ago, but a lot of people came out, including Austin, saying, hey, they felt that MPJ was already hurt. He was already kind of feeling that throughout the season. So I guess where there's some people that are like, well, yeah, but Porter was really, he wasn't really the Michael Porter Jr. we saw last year even. He took a step back offensively. But if what Austin Rivers said is true, then yeah, he was hurt. So what do we expect there? I mean, do we think that we'll get an MPJ that was kind of still struggling to find himself this year, or can we chalk that up to know that the injury was starting to rear its ugly head at that point?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, if in fact that was the case, then, this time off hopefully gave him a chance to heal everything. Maybe it wasn't just the back, or maybe it was just the back. And what happened was he stepped wrong and really injured the back. And so, I think what the hope is that if it was more than just a back injury, if the back was just independent of whatever else was happening to him or with him prior to that, that then all of this time would have given him a chance to heal everything that ails him. And so then you would expect that when he hits the court again, he's doing so at maybe even a better space in his health than what he left the court even prior to the back injury. And so that's, I think, what I would expect. But if it was just the back all along and what he did was hurt it worse, then of course, okay, then yeah, then that should be the thing that would be healed, and we would expect to see a better version of him either way. And so, I think my expectation is that we see maybe the healthiest version of Michael Porter Jr. at all this season, if that's the case and he's able to move around the court in the manner that he wants, and to be as explosive as he wants, then maybe we'll get back to seeing the player that certainly was just lighting the world on fire for a good month and a half there, certainly after Jamal Murray went down there last season.
Talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, do you think this year, switching over to Coach Malone, is this his best year of coaching? Because he has done so much with so little, trying to figure this out, you know, incorporating Boogie Cousins the way he has, utilizing a rookie in Bones Highland, figuring out that crazy depth chart as far as who's going to be working. It does feel like the depth is starting to pick its game up. Do you think this is the best we've seen of Coach Malone?
That's a good question.
As far as regular season.
Yeah, I think given all the factors that you laid out, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in any given season, everything that you said happens to a coach has to navigate those waters, but just on a way smaller scale. I mean, I think there's going to be interesting stories that all these coaches will tell just from coaching this one season, especially with those that have been in the league for many years, and the reference point for them, you know, goes back in time. There's just never been a season like that, like this, where players are in and out, where, you know, for the Nuggets, it's been significant injuries and COVID and just all the other things. And, you know, so for all of these coaches, they've had to navigate these waters in a way that they've never had to navigate them before. And so, you know, I think he's done a great job, but then I always thought he has. I think we have in the past been nitpicky on terms of his substitution patterns or quick timeouts or you know, not getting guys off the court fast enough. But by and large, I mean, you're talking about a basketball team that every year continued to improve, the culture continued to get better, and now is in a space where, you know, there's players that want to play here. The players that play for him love him, and for him, yeah, you know, he's improved as well. I mean, when he got to Denver, the only head coaching experience he had was in Sacramento, and that was obviously short lived. So, you know, for him, yeah, I mean, he's probably at his peak powers for sure in terms of seeing things, understanding how to work with personnel, substitution patterns, push those buttons, knowing personalities, who responds to what, understanding when to jump his team and when to sit back and just say, okay, I'm going to swallow this loss or this terrible batch of turnovers and not say much. And so you only learn those things over time. And so he's definitely all his knowledge leading up to this season has been put on the court. He's done a great job.
Yeah, I hope fans remember this come playoff time, right? Whenever the playoffs start, you know, the last few times we've seen the Nuggets in those game sevens and they're down whatever and they make a comeback, you do have that certain fan base that are like, is Malone the right guy? Well, just remember that, right? This time of year. I mean, I, for one, am floored by what he's been able to do on a yearly basis. And I think, no doubt about it, he's the right guy. The question is, can you get your pieces to be there when you need them the most? And that'll be the big question. Chris, Nuggets are rolling, man. Sitting at 8-2, sitting in that sixth spot, but right on the cusp of passing up the Mavericks at this stage. Might be able to do it. They got the Thunder tomorrow night, so hey, looking forward to win number 37 tomorrow.
Yeah, and the Nuggets have, they're putting a lot of pressure on the Mavericks to really play well, and the Nuggets, you know, quite honestly, are just dominating the sub-500 teams this year. And you know, they're 23-6 against those teams, and that's the fifth best record in the NBA against those teams. And so when you think about that, 23 out of their 36 wins have come against sub-500 teams. I mean, that's a huge percentage of your victories. And all they're going to do is get three more. You're going to go Oklahoma City. You have next after that. You have Oklahoma City, and then you have New Orleans and somebody in Houston, all coming up. And so you have three more sub-500 teams. And so if the Nuggets just keep doing what they're doing in this one area, 11 of their last 21 games are against sub-500 teams, and then try to win at least half of the ones above 500, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be fifth. I don't think that the Dallas Mavericks can keep it up. I think Dallas is playing great. They're probably playing at the peak that they possibly can play. But can they keep that up? And I think the Nuggets have some areas that can continue to actually help them improve and be better. And I think ultimately they will, And because of that, I think they'll overtake Dallas for fifth. And then if you by chance get a Jamal Murray or an MPJ or both, maybe you can make a run at fourth. We'll see what the Utah Jazz are doing at that point.
I love it, man. I do feel like the Nuggets, like, they've been good. They've been solid all year, but I do feel like we're starting to see this team put everything together. And I didn't even get into Boogie. Maybe next time, Chris, but he has been a great stabilizing force coming off of that bench for this Nuggets team. Chris,
yeah,
always
10-0. Yeah, 10-0 when he plays. It's an amazing stat.
It's an amazing stat, and it's not just a big body down there that's providing a center body. I mean, he's doing a lot. Every single game, it seems like he's adding a little bit more. He's getting comfortable. So it's exciting to see. Chris, we're up against a break, my man. Looking forward to your guys' coverage tomorrow. Always a joy to watch Altitude do their thing, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. Sounds good. We'll talk to you.
All right, that's Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. This is interesting. On that note, a little breaking news here. I just spotted it. Right as Chris hung up the phone. Get him back on. Harrison Wind, another great friend of the show's, just tweeted out, the Nuggets are planning to send Michael Porter Jr. to Grand Rapids to scrimmage with their G League affiliate later this week, I'm told. That's the first step. There we go. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. And it might just be MPJ. We'll see about Jamal. 12:52 the time. Short break coming up. We'll wrap up first hour on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We got Mike Brohard coming up, too, to talk CSU Rams. We'll see how they're kind of feeling going into this week. They don't play till Saturday. So we'll get to all that and more coming up next. It's the whole show in Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKN.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.